in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And so the thought there is, what world Paul had written that, what did they do that was so much different that said, hey, look, you've been an example. You've been a good example to all those that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And that's something I'm interested in knowing and saying, hey, I want to be a good example. I want to use my influence for things that are good. I want to use my influence on things that are right. Many of us have different types of influences over certain people, whether it's our family, whether it's our friends or coworkers. There's certain people that I'll never meet that you have influence over, and the same thing, certain people that you'll meet that you never have influence, that you'll never have a chance to influence over. All throughout the Bible, it talks about having influence and using your God-given abilities and the Holy Spirit of God to be a blessing and encouragement. One of my favorite spots is found in Matthew chapter 5. Listen to what verses 13 through 16 says. Now, this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is the challenging thing when it comes to the Sermon on the Mount, is that everybody was all about rituals back then. Jesus begins to talk to them about their heart. He begins to hitting people and saying, hey, look, consider your heart here. Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has no savor, wherewith shall it be salt? It is therefore good for nothing but to cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Then he continues on, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16 is probably the most famous of those verses. Let your light so shine before men, they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. When Christ saved us, or when we were saved, it wasn't saved to put the testimony and the light of the gospel, the light that's been put inside of us, underneath the bed. It wasn't something that is supposed to remain silent. It's something, and it even goes as far as saying in verse 13, look, if you lost your savor, what good is it that you have this? I know you're on your way to heaven, but what about your influence in others? How do we influence others? What type of testimony? What are we teaching others with our actions and things like that? So let's go back to 1 Thessalonians. I just want to show you one passage in Scripture that talked about how we should let our influence, let your light so shine before men that they may see your works, that we live a life that's in front of people and we're supposed to influence others. It is something that we are supposed to make a difference in other people's lives. And I want to encourage you, you do make a difference in someone's life, whether you want to believe it or not. Things you do, things you say, how you people see that, people sometimes in a good way, sometimes in a bad way. And here in this example in 1 Thessalonians, Paul and Savonius and Timotheus, which is Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they're there. They go for three Sabbath days. They begin a church there. God does a special work there. And what made him say, you were an ensample? What was about them that says, hey, all those people in Macedonia, all those people in Achaia, all those people are living for the Lord, and you've been an example to them. They use the word ensample, but we're more used to the word example. You've used this testimony. They mean something about you, and all that believe have learned something from you. So I'm interested today in the things that we're teaching others with our actions and how we do things. Let's go ahead and read the whole chapter. It's a simple, very short chapter, only 10 verses, and a few things we'll look at tonight, today, why they were in samples. Paul and Savonius and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention you in our prayers. Now, he begins to talk about some of their characteristics. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel, and you see the word "our," talking about the gospel that they believe, the gospel they brought, it's a similar, only one way to heaven, that's through Jesus Christ, came not unto you in word only. It wasn't just bunch of words, because people say a bunch of words that their actions do not back up. And he says, for your gospel came not into you only, you in word only, but also in power, referring to the Holy Spirit's power and the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance that they believe what they taught and they preach what they taught. Now, this next phrase, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. He says, you knew my testimony. You knew our testimony amongst you. Once again, they were an example to the church of Thessalonica, and something happened to where the church of Thessalonica became an example to all those in Macedonia. It says, verse number 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, we need you. Lord, in a day, people are watching, a day and time when the internet's so prevalent and social media so prevalent, and a day and time where people get upset so easily and so many times way we influence others. And Lord, help us to understand and see that we can influence people for you, that we can make a difference. And help us, what is it that I'm teaching someone with my actions? What is it I'm teaching someone with my words? What is it that I'm teaching someone with the way I serve? And Lord, like this church in Thessalonica, known across the world, it seems like, for their faith, that God, we would have a testimony like that. A Faith Baptist Church would be a place who loves the Lord. That the people of Faith Baptist Church would be a praying people. That the people of Faith Baptist Church have faith in God. And Lord, that we would say, I want to make a difference and influence this world. Not just young, not just old, but like the way that letting my light shine so that this world can see what the difference God has made in my life. And they will glorify God in heaven. That will lift you up, not lift ourselves up. Lord, help us today. You brought us here for a reason. You brought us to this church for a reason. Help us as we look into your word. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you go even a step farther in verse number 7, I said, look, where the disciples in Macedonia and Achaia, look what it says in verse 8. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place your faith toward Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So the amazing thing about their testimony, it not only stayed in their general area, spread abroad all throughout the area, and they were an example. So what made them an example? What made them different? I mean, there was churches in the Macedonia area. There's churches in the Achaia's area. What made them different than the rest of them? What made their example something that Paul would speak about? One, I want you to think about this church. If you go back to the book of Acts, we won't take time to go there. It says they were there for 3 Sabbath days. After 3 Sabbath days, they were doing something for the Lord. They had a church that was up and running. Persecution had come. And I don't know who they left behind. I don't know who took care of the church. All I know, in 3 Sabbath days, God began a work that was supernatural. And then later on, he's writing this book to this group of people that says, hey, look, you're being an example to everybody that's around. Keep it up. Keep on doing what you're doing because of the fact that it is a wonderful testimony for everyone else. And when urge you, imagine what God can do in just a moment. Imagine what God can do just in a moment. So I don't know what's going on in your life and what's going on in your world today, but there is a God that can serve, and there's a God that can do, and there's a God that's able to help you whatever you're dealing with. In 3 Sabbath days, there was a church that began, and it began to the point where their testimony that spoke throughout and says there in verse number 8, every place your faith to Godward. And that's amazing. We think we've been coming to church for how long and how long and how long and how long, and been in church sometimes all our life. I make the joke 9 months before I was born. And I want to see God move. I want to see God do things. And I want this testimony. Now, once again, this is a testimony of the church of the ages that are around them. And this is something that they're lifted up and said, hey, your testimony here is something that's important. So let's see what made them different than the other churches. thing I want you to see here, what made them different, is found in verse number 6. It's because they received the word. It's in verse number 6, and it says, "And ye became followers of us." Who is that talking about? Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus. He became a follower of us. Now, to me, I'm not telling people to follow me. That's scary in my mind. Now, people are going to follow. People are going to listen. I tell people, look, if I follow the Lord, make sure you follow me. But I know I'm human. I know I'm weak. I know there's mistakes and there's things and temptations and things like that. And I'm living for the Lord, and I'm doing with the Holy Spirit's help the best. But at the same time, Paul says, hey, follow me. You don't see anybody else saying that. And you see what manner of man it talks about, and at the end of verse number 5, that Paul, Timotheus, and Silvanus was an example to the church. And as an example to his church, you know what happens? They learn from them. They become a follower. And so the question today is, what people are learning from you? What is it that people are learning from your testimony and from your actions? And here is, what did they learn? First, it says, "And having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The first thing they did that made them different, set them apart, was the fact that they received the word of God, even though there was much affliction, and they did it with joy in the Holy Ghost. They were delighting in the word of God. They received it. They didn't let their circumstances stop them. They didn't let problems stop them. It says in much affliction that Paul and these group was run out of town from persecution, and they led by the Holy Spirit of God, I'm sure, when they did that, and there was much affliction. They, just because Paul left, didn't stop, didn't mean that the persecution was going to stop. See, this is a growing, thriving church to be an example to all the other churches. They received the word of God, even though there was hard times, and even though there was afflictions, and then they also did it with joy. They delighted in the word of God. As we talked about last Sunday, there being the word blessed, and blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And if that's his delight, that's the person that's blessed. That's the person that God can use. And that's happy. And as we said, they received the word, it was in joy. And sometimes when we talk to people, and sometimes when we have conversations, they don't want to hear the truth. Sometimes when you come to somebody, you open up the Bible and says, hey, how come this is bothering you when it shouldn't be? Oh, no. You don't know, and they begin to tell a story about why they're acting a certain way, but this is why they were an example. This is why that in the New Testament, they were lifted up and said, look, you're a church as an example to the rest of us. They received the word. They did it with joy. And sometimes when we're confronted with the truth, we don't like it. Sometimes we like to, quote some other verses and take them out of context. Saying here, this was a church that was an example, was because they received the word. They learned it from Paul and Silas and Timothy. They learned it and through the power of the Holy Ghost, obviously, that we can't do anything in our own. It's all by the power of the Holy Ghost. There was nothing special about Paul and Silas and Timothy. It was the fact that God lived in them and that they were willing to act in a certain, you know what manner of men we were among you. They were spirit-filled men. They were men that they could learn, somebody could learn from, and they took from there. I'm receiving, I'm delighting in the word of God. I'm getting joy out of it. Even though they face affliction, even though they face temptation, even though they face persecution, even though they had all these things happening in their life, they gave them an example. How do you know that? It's because they said, you became followers of us. In the same verse, look, you followed us. That means that Paul had received the word affliction with the ghost. Not only did they receive the word, but look what it says in verse number 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and look what it says, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So here's the thing, is that not only they were an example in the fact that they received it, though times were hard, they received it in joy, but they turn to God from their idols. And that's word repentance is referring to, is when you turn from an idol and you turn to God, to serving God. Now, I believe this speaks about the change that happened at salvation. I believe this speaks of the change that happened in their lives was so noticeable and so real that they did not act like they used to. Remember, any man that is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. I'm not looking like that and acting like And in people's lives, they go from another idol. They go away from, hey, maybe I'm not booze anymore. Maybe I'm not the God of themselves or the God of this or the God of that. The church of Thessalonica was different. They turned from these idols and they began to turn to serve the one true living God. And their testimony made and reached all throughout the world. I think that's amazing. It's a desire. I want to have a testimony where I can help others because they see the delight of the Lord. They just see the light of the Word of God, no matter what the trial it is, no matter what the persecution is, no matter whoever treats you, whatever way they treat you. And then you say, look, I'm still receive the Word. I'm going to have joy. I'm going to turning from my sin and going to God. Third thing that I really think set them apart is one of my favorite verses in the Bible, because of the correlation that goes with Ephesians, the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Look what it says in verse number 3. Remembering without ceasing, and look at this, your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Their church was different like any other church. Why is that? Because it wasn't just a labor, it was a labor of love. It wasn't just being patient. They were patient because of the hope they had in Christ. It wasn't just a work. It was a work of faith. And in the book of Revelation, you can turn there if you like to. In Revelation chapter number 2, we see something that people would consider maybe a model church. And we hear what's written about it. And you see that it's said in Revelation chapter 2, verse number 2, it says, thy work and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And we would think, man, that is an amazing church there. Look, they can't bear those things that are evil. They smack the snot out of all those that are evil and those that are wicked. And then it keeps on going and says, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles of God, and hast found them liars. And then he go down to verse number 4. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Verse number 2 gives us this idea, hey, man, this church is doing something great and right. And you notice those three words, and I've showed you this before in the scriptures, the exact same words. I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience. That's the same thing that's found in 1 Thessalonica, but the difference, 1 Thessalonians, but the difference was it was a work of faith. It was a labor of love. It was a patience of hope. It was something that is, it's amazing to think that their church was different because of the fact that they did it for the right reasons. Apart from everything else in this world was, it came for the right reasons, they came for the right reasons. And when they worked, they did it by faith. I believe, you know, I'm going to do this work because I believe it can happen. So often we go through our routines. We teach our classes. We preach sermons. We talk to others. We read our Bibles. We pray, but do we do it with faith? The Bible says for faith is impossible to please God. It's impossible. So that's the difference between the church in, I think, in Thessalonica and the church in Ephesus. The church in Ephesus was known for being a good church, but he says about you, there's something wrong. You don't love me the way you should. You love probably yourself or someone else more. And he says, look, and that's what made them an example. Is that the fact that it was a work of faith. It was unlike any other church. They did their work and they did it by faith. And they labor. And I know there's people that labor and they work hard. And I see people that labor and work hard. And I'm so thankful for those that labor and work hard. But it's a labor of love. It's not just a labor because I'm a Christian. It's my responsibility. I got to stick my nose to the grindstone. I guess got to do it. No, it's a labor because I love the Lord. And you've left your first love. He says, I got something against you. You've left the reason why you labor. And then at the end, in 1 Thessalonians 1, verse number 3, and patience of hope. Patience is something that many people struggle with. Even I struggle probably with that in certain areas. I want so much I get not patient with myself sometimes. Sometimes I give myself too much patience, but it's the idea there, patience. What is that? That means that we're going to give God a chance to work. Patience of hope means that I can hope that God can change things around. That's why I serve. That's why I have that work of faith, and that's why I do that labor of love, because my hope is not found in my works. The hope was not found in Thessalonica's works. The hope wasn't found in Paul's work or Silvanus's work or Timotheus's work. The hope was found in God, and they were patient. They believed God. They believed his word. Their hope was found in the Lord. And that's what set them apart from all the other churches was, hey, our church is different because it's not just working. It's a work of faith. It's not just laboring. I'm doing it because I love the Lord. It's not just I'm going to be patient because that's what I have to do because I'm a Christian and I got to be nice to those kids or I got to be nice to that person that's being ornery or that person that is older. No, it's a hope that God would work. It's a patience of hope because I believe God could work. That's what made it different. And that's what their testimony was. So let's put the application together. What do people see from our examples? We see the example here. What made them different was they received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Ghost. They also turned from idols to serve the living and true God they were serving. But look at how they were serving with a work of faith, a labor of love, and a patience of hope. So what do people see went through us? When they hear our words, what they learn from us? When they see our actions, what they learn from us? When they see the way we serve, what do they learn from us? When they see how we give of ourselves, what do they learn? The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that you can act whatever way you want and you're not going to influence anyone. I think about it in my life. I even see it in my son's lives today. There are certain things about my dad that I... even here recently, as in the last couple years, that I do similar to him. When I was probably 18 or 19, was helping manage the restaurant, my dad was a police officer. He had been a police officer for over 30 years in Elkton. It was a little town. So he was not, you know, it was really, really popular in the community. And everybody, the waitresses and the people that worked there really liked my dad. And I thought, man, I'm nothing like my dad. But now going back and looking at it, I learned some things from my dad over the years. He influenced me. There are certain things that I say and certain things I do, even certain ways I hold myself. I look in the mirror now, and I see my dad sometimes. I'm thinking, oh. And there are a lot of things I learned not to do from him. But there's a lot of things that he influenced me on how to do and the way to do it. And there are sometimes I'm not patient when it comes to my family. I want things done just like that sometimes, and I remember that about my dad. Then I transpire to my sons, and I love my sons. I think they both have a love for the Lord and a desire to serve the Lord. But I see things in their life that, man, I wish I would have acted differently because they're picking up a couple of things. Now, some of the things they're picking up I don't think are bad. But there's a couple of things that, and I was even talking to my oldest son earlier about it, says, look, this is something over the years that I could do better. And I says, and I want to make sure you don't do it better. So when I'm hard on you about this, the reason why is because I know for over the years, I like to procrastinate. Not all the time and not with everything. I schedule out everything right so I have enough time to handle it, but I never take into account the emergencies or the things. Or the person who wants to call and has a need and has to talk to you for an hour. You know, so I always have enough time, but at the same time, it's something that I'm trying to get him out of, hey, when you know you're supposed to do something, you got to do it. Just go ahead and do it. Don't put it off to tomorrow. And it's because he's watched me. When it comes to certain things, be passive in the fact that I can just fix that tomorrow and then there's a problem at the church and I can't fix it tomorrow. And like I said, there are certain things that I don't mind him learning from me because I think the Lord's taught me those things. I've learned them from other people over the years. But there's other things I say, man, I need a change. I need to change how quick-witted I am with my tongue sometimes because I don't want anybody else to learn that. I need to learn how to be thankful. I need to learn how to do it. And there's a long list of things. So when I looked at this list, what do people learn from my words? How do I influence people? Preacher, I say a lot of words, especially on Sundays. What my actions? Because as it talked about here in verse number 5, it says it wasn't in word only, but also in power. Our actions have power. I know that's not the context of it, but the reality is you learn more about somebody from what they do than what they say. Because it's easy to say things that are right. It's easy to sound good. But when your actions don't line up to what you say, then that's where it's challenging. What do you learn through your service? Is it a labor of love? Is it a work of faith? Is it a patience of hope? What do you learn through our giving of ourselves? Like I said, looking back now, especially probably in the last 5 years, as I get older, I see things that my dad didn't say and think, you know what? That's how my dad would handle it. Don't always want to be like that. Sometimes he had a strong work ethic. He had lots of good, positive things. I want to be like those things. I don't want to convince myself that I can live whatever way I want and be deceived into believing, oh, you're fine. That's why it says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Oh, just because I act like this, my kids are never going to pick that up. Just because I do this, my kids are never going to learn from that. My grandkids are never going to learn from that. Don't be deceived. Just because I talk and because I do this and I act like this, I can turn around and sulk and I can turn around and act this way. No one pays attention. We all have influence, whether it's something that's little that we not even know about or if it's something that's great. Working with the children's church is fun. Because those children, many of them have never even heard much about the Bible. But they will bring up something. I don't know if they're soaking up the lessons, but if you tell them 1 week that, hey, next week if you say your verses, you're going to get some type of treat, and you forget it, boy, they'll remind you. They're listening. They're on purpose. They're watching. Hey, you did this for so-and-so. You did that. And sometimes you got to explain yourselves. You do. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with having conversations and asking tough questions. But they soak it in. And it's foolish for us to think that we can act whatever way we want and we don't think we're hurting anybody. We are influencing others. So what would they say is, I learned that from... And you put your name there. I can say, I learned that from my dad. And there were things. My dad taught me how to throw a baseball. Dad taught me how to hit a baseball. Dad taught me a lot of different things. He taught me a work ethic that, you know, you better be on time. You better do all the things. And he helped me in a lot of areas. Very thankful for those things. He taught me some things spiritually, too. His spiritual life is not the same journey that most of us would have, and pray for him often. I love my dad, and he watches us online many times. He probably doesn't like it when I talk about it. He might be listening right now. But at the same time, he understands that it's personal, and that's what we learn from. Now, then I began to think about other people who influenced me in my life, some junior church teachers, some Sunday school teachers, a youth pastor, some school teachers. Not only that, but I think about how some of you have influenced me. I've watched you and say, sometimes it's discouraging. Sometimes it's a blessing. And so how is it that we want people to remember us as? What do you want to be remembered as? What is the example you want to show to the rest of the world? Let's receive the joy. Let's receive the word, no matter what the hard time is, no matter what the affliction is, let's do it with joy. Let's delight in the Lord. Let's make sure we're turning from our sin to serve the living, true God. But as we serve, let's do it as a work of faith, believing. I'm not working for a man. I'm not working for an individual. I'm working for the Lord. I'm not working for an organization. I'm working for the Lord. Love. We're doing it because we love him. And then it's a patience of hope. Don't let people learn from you the wrong thing. Give them the right things to learn. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this testimony. Lord, at the end of my life, I don't want to be known as the person that procrastinates all the time. Don't want to be known as the person that's quick-witted or have a sharp tongue or even a person that is not patient. Lord, I want to be known as the person who loves you, person who was, no matter what the opportunity was, of receiving your word with joy, that I was not encompassed or held down by sin, but I was turning to God. And I was living for him, living in true God, and that I was doing it for the right reasons. It was a work of faith. It was a labor of love. It was a patience of hope. Lord, help speak to our hearts about what we're leaving to those that are behind us. Help us to consider our families or those who we've influenced and see how that turned out or didn't turn out. Help us to consider the people who influenced us. And help us long look at ourselves and say, people learning from me. Help our church, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.